You're listening to Megiddo Radio. Megiddo Radio is a radio ministry of Megiddo Media. For more, visit our website at MegiddoRadio.com. That's MegiddoRadio.com.
Welcome. This is Paul Flynn with Megiddo Radio for the 12th of October, 2018. Thank you all for tuning in. And we managed to get to another program this week. And by God's grace, going to be preaching this weekend, and obviously wonderful thing to have that opportunity to do that again. So it looks like the pattern for the program hopefully will be Monday, Friday, but I'm not going to make any promises on that. We'll kind of see over the next couple of weeks how things pan out. And on Sunday, anybody's in just north of Belfast, anybody who's in that area, Northern Ireland's not that big, I'm going to be preaching at Trinity Reformed Presbyterian Church of Ireland. And I'm really excited to go there. My Greek teacher is Warren Peel. He is the minister there. And it's also the same congregation where Edward Donnelly, he's well known in the States, especially in the RPCNA, the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America. And one thing I noticed about two of those men is just the warmth. Just one of the things I really want to learn from them, especially as they go into ministry, is just they're just so welcoming and so encouraging, both of them. And yeah, just I'm really, really blessed. So I'm really looking forward to fellowship this weekend, Trinity, if anybody's around that area, whatever the case is. And anybody I've met from there is really warm, and just it's a tremendous Christian testimony. And linking in with that has been the wonderful news that I suppose people have been well aware of all over the world now. It seems the Ashers, quote unquote, gay cake controversy, court case, whatever you want to call it, and the wonderful news that they've won the case. I had kind of forgotten about it for a while. We've been praying in our house various times for it, but I must confess, the kind of, I suppose it's kind of for 4 years now, and the wonderful, we'll go through some of the clips in a second from the media. Especially really want to cover this. I covered this issue a couple of years ago on the program. I think, I don't know why this number is sticking out of my head, episode number 176, I think it is, but I'll put it in with the link at MegiddoRadio.com if you want to go back and listen to that for whatever reason. And it's such a scary time in Northern Ireland, in the West, in the UK, when there is a growing push on it, becoming more and more obvious that it's like, if you're a Christian, you got two options. Don't open a business. And this seems to be the message from not all, I'll be honest, not all of the gay rights activists. Some of them, Patrick Stewart, for example, who would advocate for homosexual rights and all this kind of stuff, wouldn't go as far as some of these people we're going to be looking at later on. But the MacArthur family, who run Asher's Bakery, have been a wonderful testimony. I've observed over the years, and to be honest, years and years ago, I didn't appreciate how mature they'd been. And I think more and more as time's gone on, I've seen more and more that they've been very careful about everything they've said. They've not gone beyond what, you know, the media is trying to catch him, but how would you respond to somebody who says you're a bigot or something like that? And they have just, which is not easy. It's not easy when you're under the spotlight like that, and continue to pray for him. I mean, the Supreme Court has ruled in favor. I keep skipping ahead. I'm presuming that everybody is aware, but unanimous decision 5-0, which is wonderful and took me by surprise. But praise the Lord that they continue to persevere. they knew that they were in the right here, and they continued with, and praise the Lord for the Christian Institute, which helped them with the legal side of it. And they do a lot of wonderful work, the Christian Institute. So the Supreme Court has ruled that two previous court cases that went against Ashers went in favor of Gareth Lee, the guy who brought this discrimination case, towards the Equality Commission. And massive waste of, well, public money, but there's far more serious things at play here. I'm just going to read out the statement from the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Ireland. Again, I'm probably skipping around a lot, but just to emphasize as well, the MacArthurs are members of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Ireland, same denomination that I'm a member of, and they're also members of Trinity Reformed Presbyterian Church. And so keep that congregation in your prayers. Keep, and if you can be, I know they've received a lot of support, but this is, I don't know, legal-wise, I don't know if there can be extra cases, if they can be, if they can go higher. Shouldn't be. I mean, the European Union shouldn't be. It might push on Brexit a little bit faster, but I digress. But this is the statement from the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Ireland, Ashers Supreme Court decision. And on the website, and on our website, on rpc.org, it states, Ashers Bakery contended throughout the legal process that they did not have a policy of refusing to provide goods and services to certain sections of the public on the basis of their sexual orientation, religious belief, and political opinion, and that their refusal to produce a cake with a pro-gay slogan was on the basis of the slogan conflicted with their Christian beliefs. The judgment confirms that Ashers Bakery did not discriminate against Mr. Lee on the basis of sexual orientation, religious belief, or political opinion. As stated by Lady Hale, the president of the Supreme Court, their objection was to the message on the cake, not to the personal characteristics of Mr. Lee, unquote. They would, quote, have refused to make such a cake for any customer, irrespective of their sexual orientation. On this occasion, the right to the exercise of Christian conscience in business has been protected, but in other cases, it has not. We commend the patient endurance shown by the MacArthur family, which has been a powerful example and witness. Amen. My own comment. Continuing on with the statement, we are thankful for organizations such as the Christian Institute, who have provided much-needed support to the Ashers Bakery in their legal defense. We are thankful for the significant number of Christians attending meetings locally, mainland, UK, organized by the Christian Institute to raise awareness and show support to the MacArthur family and also like them. Above all, we are thankful to God is in control even when people are ostracized, publicly shamed, and persecuted for their beliefs. We are thankful for the assurance that God will guide, comfort, and sustain us when we are under attack for his cause. We remain prayerful for all God's people facing public threat and opposition on account of their exercise of religious beliefs. And we continue to pray for enlightenment of hearts and minds to the need of salvation in Christ alone. And they have been a tremendous testimony, and I've never met them in person, but in the media and everything else, I can't fault them, and continue to pray for them, and continue that they'll continue to be the great witnesses that they've been so far. Now, just going to look at some of the things and some of the reporting from the media. We're going to look at Channel 4 first and try and get through what we can ever get through, and look at some of the debate that has, well, been going on for a couple of years now. But just to make sure that I'm very, very clear, not everybody who's in the gay rights movement is against, actually quite a number of significant people are actually on Asher's side who don't agree with the Christian beliefs. This is from Channel 4 News, and we're just going to play a few minutes of it.
It was a cake with a message. Now it has a very high price tag. £36.50 when it was ordered, After a four-year court battle, it's closer to £500,000.
Now, just on the screen, this is not going to be Megiddo TV, unfortunately. But on the screen, just to remind people what they were asking with Gareth Lee, this customer from a couple of years ago, who's still welcome, by the way. Who's still welcome. And I love how they said that. The MacArthur said, Mr. Lee is still... He can come to our shop at any time. And it speaks to their character and testimony. But what they were asked to do was create a cake, and Bert and Ernie on the front of it, which said support gay marriage. Yes, Christians. Could you imagine going to a Muslim and asking a Muslim baker to do this? Or, again, this case has been made, you know, go to a Muslim and asking him to make a picture of Muhammad or whatever else. Now, we're going to get into the arguments in a second that they're using, but it is patently clear that it's, no, Christians, yeah, you can practice your beliefs, but just make sure it's not in our way. Get out of our way. And it's going to get worse after that. And we're going to look at the biblical reasons why in a while.
Belfast bakers Daniel and Amy MacArthur walked out of the Supreme Court today, the winners.
Well, I want to start by thanking God.
And God had a central part in this case. The couple are Christians and believe the only marriage acceptable to God is between a man and a woman.
Just to point out as well, how many people do that? First thing that they do is thank God. Now, sometimes you'll see people in Hollywood and whatever else doing that, and it's usually prosperity gospel things, and it's usually in America. For those who are on the other side of the Atlantic who are listening to this case, I don't know what the percentage, it's like 15% or something like that, of people who attend church. The UK, now Northern Ireland is different, Northern Ireland is pretty becoming more and more hostile to the gospel as well, but it's very, very different to the rest of the UK. The UK, especially England, is very hostile, extremely hostile to Christianity in particular.
We did not turn down this order because of the person who made it, but because of the message itself. The judges have given a clear signal today. In fact, it couldn't be clearer. Family businesses like ours are free to focus on giving all their customers the best service they can without being forced to promote other people's campaigns.
The couple run Asher's Bakery in Belfast. In 2014, Gareth Lee, a gay activist seen here on the left, ordered and paid for a cake. He wanted it iced with a picture of the two Sesame Street puppets, Bert and Ernie, and the message, support gay marriage.
Is it... I mean, I know it's been made time and time again, but is it really... A gay rights activist goes to an openly Christian baker and asks them to make a cake, which is obviously clearly against what the Bible teaches. What does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches that homosexuality is against nature. It is an abomination before the Lord. Not only that, this man goes to a Christian baker, and it's not like they were hiding their beliefs or anything, and asks them to produce a cake to support an action that is illegal. It's still illegal in Northern Ireland. And yet, the Equality Commission thinks it's wrong to be objectionable to something that is illegal.
But 2 days later, the company cancelled the order and gave him a refund. Backed by the Equality Commission, Mr. Lee took the couple to court.
What's surprising about today's judgment is it overturns two previous rulings in Northern Ireland.
I don't know an exact makeup of the financial backing or anything like that. But it appears to me that without the Equality Commission, none of this would be possible. That public money has been squandered. And I've argued this time and time again. Why cannot, just say, for example, somebody is horrible or doesn't like a certain group or whatever. My argument is always, it's somebody's business. Now, if they're a horrible person or whatever, they will suffer because nobody's going to accept that. If they get a if a business gets a reputation for being horrible or nasty, just say they're discriminating against a certain skin color or whatever, well, that's not going to be accepted. But my case is, can you compel somebody to provide a service for them against their will? Now, this even goes even deeper than the whole case of, see, it's definitely not capitalism in such a case where you don't really own your own things. You don't really own your own service. Somebody can compel you to provide a service. Now, this even goes even further. Now, they didn't even do that. They refused it based on the message. They didn't. They've served him in the past. He'd been a customer before. So, I mean, I cannot believe that this is not some kind of a hit operation. I'm sorry. Can it really be ignored? I mean, praise the Lord that the Supreme Court had some sanity about this. Because could you imagine what it would do if it hadn't been passed? What kind of a precedent this would set? Now, to be honest, it would just be Christians who would be targeted. I might be wrong. There might be other people targeted. Who knows? But in general, Christians would be targeted by this. And as a debate transpired on this morning, going to look at in a while, Lord willing. The basic message was this: don't open a business. If you're a Christian, don't open a business. And if you are a Christian, don't follow the Bible in your business. Oh, just do it in your church. And do you know what people will do as soon as you do that? I see that you're those hypocritical Christians. You're like, you act like the word for 6 days, but then not that we should do this anyway. We shouldn't concede ground to the world just in order to please the world. Number one, no one's going to accept you anyway, but that's not the reason you should do it. You should do all things in our lives to the glory of God. Whatsoever you eat or drink, to do all things to the glory of God. Now, we don't go out there to seek enemies. We should seek peace with all men. However, we must accept, since the fall of Adam, there is enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Enmity. There's division. Preached a message on Christ is our peace. You can listen to it on YouTube. And the audio is on YouTube anyway. Or maybe on sermon audio as well. Where I was talking about Ephesians chapter 2, where the Gentiles, that enmity that existed between the Gentiles were outside of the covenant of Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel, and the Jews who were inside. But, says, but for he is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That wall or partition is only removed in Christ. So the solution is always the same: the gospel. The gospel. Any Christians who think that the world would accept when we don't do X, Y, and Z. No. Open. If you have the wherewithal and the skills, open businesses. Run schools, but they don't want you to do that. They want you to be in a position where there's Christians that have no influence or say whatsoever. And not only that, they want to compel with their own morality on those who disagree.
Mr. Lee won his original case. The Bakers were found to have discriminated against him, and the Court of Appeal still believes.
Okay, I'm going to listen. We're just going to jump ahead to Mr. Lee's comments after the court ruling.
Yes, he is the victim in this case.
My money was taken, and then a few days later it was refused, based upon the beliefs of the business owners. That made me feel like a second-class citizen, and the judgment today tells me that that's okay.
So far, this case has cost...
Second... I don't even know how to respond to that. Second-class citizen, because why? You can't force somebody in order to support... Again, would you go to a Jewish baker and ask them to make a cake with a swastika on it? And you say, nobody would ever do that. Well, I was at something years ago. I remember it was at a metal gig years ago. Actually, this is before I was a Christian. And I remember it was somebody's birthday. I had no clue until afterwards, by the way. And one of the bands we were playing with, it was some Nazi birthday party or something. And actually, the cake was in the shape of a swastika. And you're like, oh, well, people went, well, some baker made that. So could you imagine that they ask, and I said, oh, that's ludicrous. Because Nazism isn't that popular anymore. But LGBT rights is. This is the flavor of the moment. The tyranny, it's not even mob tyranny, because you're talking about, you're still talking about, I mean, a segment of the population, and this shouldn't make it right or wrong, whatever the percentage is, but you're talking about a section of the population, 3-4%. Possibly less. I mean, it's been a while since I've done the statistics. I've done programs on this years ago. Of the tiny percentage that is affected by this. But it always goes back to people's opposition to the Bible. People's opposition to the scriptures. Again, where are they going after the Islamic bakers? And say, oh, nobody's ever done that. People have gone in to Muslim bakers, test this out. Now, not that I advocate this. I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it's Christian. I don't like. But who was it? I think it was Stephen Crowder years ago went into, not that I'm a fan of Stephen Crowder or anything, but I'm just saying he went into Muslim baker just to show, and they wouldn't. You know, pretending to be gay and all that, they wouldn't make the cake. Now, this is implications on other places around the world. And I hope this gives hope for Christian businesses, especially the printers. Printers have been affected by this. You know, if they're going to be asked to print for campaigns, you should have the right to refuse whatever you want to refuse for your own reasons, because it's you providing the service. Nobody should be able to force you to give the other person service. That is, by the way, slavery? I thought we'd ban that, but anyway.
The Equality Commission, £250,000 of public money. That figure could double if it has to pay costs.
Yes, people would say it was a waste of public money. We don't believe it is a waste of public money, because the two lower courts had ruled in Gareth's favour. Now we have a situation with the Supreme Court that seems to have overturned.
Well, it has, by the way. Anyway, so that's Channel 4. We're going to skip ahead here just to look at some of the comments. Of course... Yeah, we're just going to play. This is some of the debate that's going on. Neither of these two men are Christians, but this is the two sides of the debate that's going on right now.
And from Belfast, John O'Doherty, who's director of Jane Dodge Reporting. Well, joining me now is the human rights campaigner Peter Tatchell. And from Belfast, John O'Doherty, who's director of the Northern Ireland LGBT organisation Rainbow.
Now, they're both pro-LGBT. Well, that's Channel 4 for you, but anyway.
The project. Welcome to you both. Peter Tatchell, let's start off with the cake then. Here we have a replica of the cake. It's not the real cake, although it has some real icing on it. What's wrong with this cake?
Well, of course, I profoundly disagree with Asher's Bakery in their opposition to same-sex marriage. They claim they're doing so based on their Christian beliefs. But I do not believe that discrimination is a Christian value. And by opposing same-sex...
I do not believe discrimination is a Christian value. Okay. Peter Tatchell does go to a position that we would agree with when it comes to the Ashes Bakery case. But I just want to point out one thing. Right back, Genesis chapter 2, marriage is between one man and one woman for life. The word discrimination is thrown around. Everybody discriminates. It's saying one thing's good and one thing's bad. So let's get that out of the way. Everybody discriminates. For example, and this is an extreme example, but just say you've got two people who can mind your children. One person is the nice, respectable woman in her 40s or something who's holds down a job, etc. and so on. The other person is a drunk and is a bit weird. You're going to discriminate against the person who's a drunk based off of that. See, people make decisions, okay? I suppose what we're talking about here is unfair discrimination. Look, what you're asking for is the redefinition of marriage. Keep that in mind. You cannot make... It's like putting... It's like a round square. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing as same-sex marriage. It doesn't exist. You can have a ceremony. You can declare whatever you want, but it's not it. Marriage is according to the word of God. It's a creation ordinance between man and woman. Anything else is not marriage. So a Christian is just saying, not opposition, just pointing out, this is not marriage. Call it whatever you want, but it's not marriage. It's an affront against God. It's redefining what God has already defined. And yes, a Christian must stand on what the Bible says, or you're not a Christian. If you don't believe the Bible, if you don't love God and love his commandments, which is the characteristic fruit of a person who's been born again, regenerated by the Spirit of God, and is brought into union, communion with Christ, if that is not characteristic, if you're not in union, communion with Christ, you're not a Christian. You may go to church, you may go to a building, you may go tick all these boxes, and you may claim to love Christ. You might even read parts of the Bible from time to time. But unless you love Christ, what better way to know if you love Christ than if you love him and keep his commandments? But basically, if you love God, you love the law of God, which is the very character of God, summarized in the Ten Commandments. Do you love his law? Do you meditate upon it day and night, as Psalm 1 talks about? And that man who meditates upon the word of God is blessed, joyful. There is, and I've never met the MacArthurs, but you just see a joy in their interviews. There's just, I remember a person who hadn't seen me in years, I think about a year or two by that point, and hadn't seen her in a long time. Really good friend, and she stared at me and just like it was like I got two heads or something like that. And she said, "You are completely different." And I was like, "Yeah, I am." I think the previous time that she'd seen me before was I wasn't a Christian. I didn't love the Lord. I was a drunk. I'd be drunk 4 days a week. I was a musician of kind of a failing rock, metal musician or whatever, well, singer. And there's almost an inescapable joy that comes when you have a heart that's been born again, regenerated, loves God's law, And because you love his law, you keep those commandments. And because his commandments are not grievous. It is a joyful thing to walk in the way of the Lord. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way. The way is narrow, constraining, almost this kind of idea. This is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, of crushing, coming in. If you've read Pilgrim's Progress, the whole idea of, you know, you walk through the wicket gate. It's not easy as you walk to the celestial city. It's difficult. But the Christian is satisfied in the fountains of living water. The Christian loves God and is satisfied in him, even if all are against him. Actually, when the world is against you and you are truly following Christ, you learn not to look to the world, but you depend more upon God, and you are more and more satisfied in him. Because you hunger and thirst for righteousness, and he is the only water that will satisfy. Let's go back to some of this debate on Channel 4 between Peter Tatchell and the other LGBT activist.
Same-sex marriage, they are supporting discrimination against Northern Irish same-sex couples. Right. So I disagree with them.
But you don't agree with this cake either.
But I do believe that in a free society, people and businesses should have a right to follow their beliefs, and that in this particular case, I don't think it's right that they be compelled to decorate a cake with a message with which they disagreed. And that's good for them, and it's good for everyone, because the Supreme Court has basically said that ashers should not be forced to decorate a cake with a message, support gay marriage. Mm. But equally, the implication is that a gay baker should not be required to decorate a cake with a message against gay marriage.
Right.
Okay, so you got that from Peter Tatchell. At least he's being consistent with it, but unfortunately others go further. Now, again, we pray that all these men who are all these different positions or whatever and what they call freedom, we pray that they will come to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ above all else. And we've got to realize this. There's nothing that restrains God by saving by few or by many. Is God not sovereign? Can he not turn the hearts of this wicked and perverse nation that has turned against him? Of course he can. If you don't believe that, you're not going to cry out to him. This is a debate here that took place, when was it? Yesterday? On this morning, this is kind of it's a morning program. And there is a debate here that takes place between Crystal Fufas, I think that's how you pronounce his name, and Simon Calvert from the Christian Institute. And they're going to discuss the ruling, and we're going to see some of the statements been made by one of the gay rights campaigners.
Are both a county court, then a court of appeal, ruled that Daniel and Amy MacArthur, who run the bakery, did discriminate against Gareth for his sexuality. But yesterday, the Supreme Court overturned the decision, saying that the bakers were within their rights to refuse to serve him.
Well, we're joined now by talk radio presenter and gay rights campaigner Christo Fufas and Simon Culvert from the Christian Institute. Welcome to both of you. So this Supreme Court delivers its unanimous judgment. It says Asher's refusal to bake the cake was not discriminatory. Lady Howe, president of the Supreme Court, said the objection was to the message on the cake and not to the personal characteristics of Mr. Lee. And Simon, you say actually this is key, that it was the objection to the message. That in actual fact, this was a ruling about free speech.
That's exactly right. It's about compelled speech, whether people should be compelled by law to help promote ideas that they profoundly disagree with. So the ruling is good news for everybody, whoever you are. This doesn't have to be a ruling that divides Christian people from gay people, because, in fact, Christians and gay people and other people all run businesses. And if you run a business, occasionally there might be times where you're asked to do a job which involves you in investing yourself in your creative energies and helping to promote somebody else's ideas when those ideas are totally opposed to your own. A lot of people run businesses where they have a strong ethos, whether it's to do with the environment or whether it's to do with their religious belief or whether it's to do with being gay. And if that business has that ethos and if the owners believe very strongly in their own principles, nobody should be able to sue them to force them to promote the exact opposite principles. And that's all this ruling is about.
Christo, you feel very differently. You just felt like you've been thrown under the bus.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I find it quite staggering, actually, that the thought of being gay is being compared to an idea or a principle. You know, you are born.
Okay, before he gets into that, yes, you believe it's okay. A different belief. It's an yeah. Well, let's see the rest of his argument.
Principle. You know, you are born gay. You are born black. You are born into your identity.
This is a disgusting comparison. Comparing, and it's disgusting to compare it to black people. That this action, which is contrary to nature. And if you look at Romans chapter 1, verses 18 onwards, homosexuality and other practices as well are as a result of a rejection of God and a rebellion against the created order. That's the main point of Romans chapter 1 from verses 18 onwards. They are without excuse. The invisible attributes have been made evidently clear from creation, from natural or general revelation. Psalm 19 states, "The heavens declare the glory of God," or it could also be said, "The heavens preach the glory of God." From the world, we know that there is a God. We know that he's a God of order. We know from the law of God written in our hearts, Romans 2:15, although we are fallen, those outside of Christ hold the truth and righteousness. But people know that they've broken God's law. Now, outside of the word of God, aside that special revelation, the truth of God, the revelation of God inscripturated, we do not know that there is a way to have peace with that God who created us in his image. The image of God, the law of God written on his heart, that we are to be imitators of God. We are to follow God. Now, to compare skin color to a lust, a behavior, you can make exactly the same thing. And I know this is going to anger people, but about pedophilia. I'm just born that way, so therefore you just have to accept it. Go into a Christian baker and ask him to say, support pedophilia. Oh, well, pedophilia is illegal. So is gay marriage. In Northern Ireland, so is gay marriage. Oh, well, you can't compare them. Well, you can make the same logic, the same type of argumentation. Why are they both wrong? They're both against nature. The crime of sodomy for centuries wasn't simply against homosexuality. It was against anything, especially anything that was referred to in Leviticus chapter 18, that was contrary to nature. one of the things that some people would say about the old sodomy laws, oh, they weren't very clear. Because it didn't have to say, it would just say anything contrary to nature. You can see that in old dictionaries, like the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. And this is one of the many things, bestiality included. Why can you take any sinful activity, and just say, well, I've been born as a... And I challenge the LGBT community to show me the gay gene. Where's the gay gene? Is it in a microscope? Is Woody Bachman would say, no, it's not there. Well, where is it? How? Where's the empirical proof? I did a program on LGBT junk science. Oh, I can't remember. It was a couple of years ago now. And just go into megadoradio.com, type in LGBT junk science. And people within the movement realize it is nonsense. That these people, it's fluid. It's not some fixed attribute. And the more academically minded in the movement realize that the argument that you're just born that way is sheer nonsense. If you just say, well, I'm a thief, I'm a drunkard, I was just born that way, you can justify any type of vice, any type of sin, any type of crime. I've just been born that way. Why? Because they just repeated the mantra over and over again. I couldn't help it. Well, such defenses have been tried to be used by people who've killed lots of people. Again, I'm not equating them. I'm not trying to put them on various different scales. They're all sin. My point is the line of argumentation. And if you apply this to other forms of sin, what could you also justify? That's my point. Oh, no, you're trying to equate with pedophilia. I'm not. They're both sins. They're both different types of sins. They're both grievous, horrible sins. But I'm not trying to put one on a level par with the other one at all.
Identified gender, and to sort of suggest that it's some sort of political idea that someone can be in favour of or against is, I think, preposterous, and this is not a victory for free speech.
Look at this. Look at what he says, right? That it's an idea that you can be for or against. Oh, it's preposterous. Oh, wow.
Not live in a society of free speech. We have laws that protect certain communities, certain minorities.
We don't live in... You see, they're primarily anti-free speech. Well, as long as... You see, really what it's down to, a lot of the core of... Not everybody who's gay or whatever, but a lot of the core of the movement, the more aggressive in the movement, it's really about eradicating Christianity. Come on, let's be honest. It's about eradicating Christianity. It's about destroying marriage. I played an LGBT activist years ago on the program who said, yes, I believe that the gay marriage should be legalized and all this kind of stuff, but also want to destroy the institution. It's all about destroying the institution. I'm not saying for every single one of them, but by and large, that is the overall thrust of the movement.
Because you can't stand in Trafalgar Square and spout hatred against a certain minority, because we have free speech laws that protect those people. And so,
which is it? Do we have free speech or free speech laws? And how is that free speech then? Just admit that it's the law according to, well, sin. Everyone did which was right in their own eyes, and who is going to be, and at the moment, the person, especially with this whole social justice, intersectionality, and all this kind of stuff, it is the greatest victim wins. The person who's been oppressed the most, or the claimed oppression and all this kind of stuff, comes at the top, and who is usually at the bottom of all of that? White, heterosexual, Christian. Because every other group is vying for who is the most oppressed. Be Muslims, be homosexuals, Marxists of various stripes. And then, therefore, they have the greatest right to speak on a certain issue. Not experts actually quoting statistics or anything else like that. Just anecdotal evidence of, well, I am of name your victim status, and therefore I should be able to speak on whatever given topic that you talk about. And again, Gareth Lee can go to Ash's Bakery whenever he wants. But if he's, but you see, in order for him to feel like a first-class citizen, he has to get everybody to agree with what he believes. They believe in compelled speech. End of story. Form of tyranny. A form of tyranny. And by the way, the Bible does not support, while in the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Ireland, we believe in the kingship of Christ over everything, over the nations, etc. But we cannot force someone to believe something. We believe in the law of God to be, there should be the law of the land, absolutely. But at the same time, we cannot force people to believe certain things or to support certain things.
So I think it's a really sad day that essentially a message of equality has been rejected by the Supreme Court.
So again, anything to do with LGBT rights has been equated with equality. And if you're against that, you're against goodness, you know, call it peace and love. And if you're against their view of the world, then you're hateful, bigoted, and etc. and so on.
If it's a message of equality, it doesn't seem very Christian to say that it's not the right thing to do.
Well, Peter Tatchell would not have been touring the studios yesterday celebrating this ruling if he thought for 1 minute that it diminished the rights of gay people. You know, Stephen Fry and Patrick Stewart and all these other people would not be supporting the Baker's freedom of speech if they thought it diminished the rights of gay people. And it doesn't. It doesn't do that. Gay people run businesses too. A gay baker should not have to produce a cake for me and the Christian Institute saying oppose gay marriage. We should not be able to sue him if he politely says, look, guys, you need to go to another baker.
Well, how would you feel if you went into that gay baker and regardless of your sexuality, because in this scenario it makes no difference whatsoever, and you went in and said, I want a cake that says God is great, and he says, I absolutely will not make that cake. You'd be offended.
I'm not sure I would, but even if I was offended, I wouldn't sue. I've been turned down for all kinds of things. I've been with the Christian Institute for over 20 years. One of the things I do is I place adverts for our campaigns. I've had any number of outlets say, I'm sorry, guys, that's just against our values. We're not going to do that. I said, thanks very much, and I went to the next outlet. And, you know, in a free society, a diverse society where people have different beliefs, different values...
Well, they don't really believe in diversity, and I know... The Christian Institutes have done wonderful things over the last couple of years. They've been a wonderful support, and the MacArthurs have been a wonderful witness. But I just feel we have to realize, we just have to speak biblically on things. The law of God needs to be promoted, and that's it. This is what is true, what is just, and what is right. They're not going to accept it. They're not going to accept it. They're not interested in tolerance. And I'm not saying we should be acting pragmatically and all that, but I'm just saying the futility of it. They're not going to be happy until Christianity's gone away. Now, I'm not saying we should be like tit for tat or anything like that. Absolutely not. But let's not get into this battle for complete religious liberty, which really ends up being... It never works. It never really happens. What the sinful world will do is try to crush Christianity always over and over again. What we are to do is the Bible says this is right, this is true. And with whatever influence, whatever power, whatever we have, we are to promote that and to aid in that. And, for example, the law of God, we're against abortion because the word of God says, thou shalt not kill. We are against theft because it says it in the word of God. We're against all sorts of things that are in the word of God. That's our authority. That's how we... I just get a little bit concerned when we talk about... And I know different Christians disagree with different things and all this, but we need to put forward the law of Christ. This is what is right and just. And read Romans 13. But we've gone through this before in the program.
Values, different opinions about things. You've got to allow for that kind of give and take. So rather than us trying to force other people to agree with us, we just have to say, that's what you believe, that's what I believe.
But it comes down to this thing, the same thing, doesn't it? That you, your argument is that being gay is a belief or a choice or... Well,
yeah, and that is part of the discussion,
isn't it? But that's the problem, isn't it?
Yes, I think that's where the problem lies. But that is part of the discussion.
No, because your religion is a
belief. I couldn't change my religion.
Yeah, but you are not born religious. Your religion is an opinion.
I could not change my religion.
I'm not saying that you could. You are obviously deeply hold it. Like a very, very nice fellow, but you are not born religious, whereas that's why you need extra protections for people of certain minorities who are born that way. This, I feel, if you are going to use a...
Again, there's no scientific backing for this born this way myth. It's complete fabrication. The number one, the burden of proof is on them, not the other side, to disprove that they're born that way. They're going completely on, I've always felt this way and all this kind of stuff. Again, you could justify just about anything because of this. And again, it is this. My particular sin, because they know that the word of God is against it. So it's either the word of God, the law of God, or that particular sin. And so they want to eradicate it. And because the heavens declare the glory of God, to preach the glory of God, they know from creation that there is a God. They know from while it is under darkness, while the image of God has been defaced, they know that they've been created in God's image. So they fight against it. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. This is what you see here. Now you see it manifesting itself in different ways in different people who are outside of Christ and are rebellion to Christ. This man here, Christo Fufas, the only... And anybody who does not know Christ, the only way is through Christ. There's no way you can satisfy and have peace. They don't want peace. The Bible talks about two seeds from the very beginning, back in Genesis chapter 3:15. And there are two seeds, and there's enmity. And the only way that enmity will be removed is by the blood of Christ. That they've been regenerated, born again, have new affections, new desires. That they love the law of God. That the law of God has been imprinted on their hearts. That they follow in the narrow way. That they seek after Christ. Otherwise, there's going to be enmity, hatred, hatred. John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the world that I said unto you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. For if I had not come and spoken to him, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened, the word might be fulfilled, which was written in the law. They hated me without a cause. It also says in John 15, verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It is not possible for someone to be a Christian. Now, we will imperfectly do this, but they will follow in the narrow way. And if they should depart and backslide, they will be chastened by the Father. A Christian will produce fruit. A Christian will be different from the world. And the world will hate them. The unbelieving world will hate them. It's not that we go out there looking for opposition. But if those outside of Christ who follow according to that which is right in their own eyes, you will have opposition to varying degrees. Some people will be on your side from time to time. But there will be enmity. And there won't be true peace outside of Christ. Let's play a little bit more of this discussion and wrap it up.
Book, a Bible, or any other religious text in order to push forward your own discrimination, well, then where does it stop? The Bible is... The Bible is probably one of the most sexist, racist publications you could read.
Well,
what next
would
you
be...
And here it comes. Here it comes. Here's the man's opposition. I hate the Bible. You shouldn't have Christian views. You shouldn't have no Christian bakeries. And it gets worse.
Well, should you be able to turn down a women's equality message on a cake because the Bible suggests that women should be subservient to men? Of course not.
And again, that needs to be qualified. Yes, women should... Or not women. Husbands, wives should submit to husbands. But that does not mean in any way, shape, or form that there's inequality between the sexes. Again, the Father sent the Son. If you're going to follow this line of logic, do we undo the Trinity? The Father sent the Son died for the sins of whosoever would believe in him. Would bear the sins of his people. He followed the way of his Father in heaven. Is there not equality? Is not Jesus fully God and fully man? Yes, he is. Again, well.
I'm and very you happy know that to you would be absolutely a long discussion about what the Bible teaches about women and sexuality and everything else. We can do it afterwards. Let's meet for coffee. But that's not what this is about. The question I have for you is, should a gay baker be forced to bake my cake for me? Should a Muslim baker be forced to do a cake that has a cartoon of Muhammad on it? No.
But
that would be horribly offensive.
Again, you are equating a religion to someone's sexuality, whereas one is an opinion that can be taken or left, like a political opinion. The other is someone's...
And people have left homosexuality. Many have. Many have. But they don't accept that. Many people have changed their quote-unquote identity based upon various lewd desires. But anyway.
absolutely way in which they are born. And
that is
the difference. You can't choose your race, you cannot choose your gender, you cannot choose your sexuality. You can choose discrimination, you can choose religion, is your choice.
But then what you're saying is that we should not have a right to our beliefs, that we that gay rights should come first.
But don't open a business.
Over religious
rights. Don't open a business where you...
Yeah, and here it is, right? You can have them, just don't open a business, don't tell anybody. This is where it comes. This is where don't have a business, don't have any influence, don't have schools or anything else. I hope people can see this. And again, our response should always be, we should seek peace. But again, this should make us extra. Or how would I put this? We need more evangelism, not less evangelism. Biblical evangelism, based on the Word of God. We need more prayer, not less prayer. We need more preaching, not less preaching. Street preaching. Do you want to see? Number one, they're not going to leave you alone, Christian. They're not. Here's the thing. We have been given the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. There's no middle ground. I'm sorry, but there's just no middle ground. You'll get people from time to time who will side with you. I understand that. And you should pursue the law and etc. and so on, and what the MacArthur's done, praise the Lord. But realize this is only temporary. It is not real peace. They need the gospel. They need the gospel. This opposition, it won't go away. And look, don't get me wrong. MacArthur's did exactly the right thing. And praise the Lord for their patience, their testimony. And again, I love how they came out of the courtroom, and one of the first things they said, we thank God. Said in their statement, I want to start by thanking God. First thing out of their lips, praise the Lord, what a testimony. But just realize, again, and yes, we should pursue this when it's the right time, etc. and so on. But I'm saying to the church, this is not time to invest more in legal stuff. When it's appropriate to do it, yes. But we need more teaching. We need, the church needs, to know our Bibles better so that we can explain the Word of God better. So that we may shine, point the Word of God, that light that shineth in the dark place.
Don't
open a business where you may well encounter people who are going to come in and have opinions.
You've gone further than that.
Christian, do not open a business. How else could you interpret that? Christian, don't open a business. Christians cannot open a business.
Because you've gone further than that. You said that the religion should be practiced in private.
Well, if it's going to affect other people's lives in the way in which this has, absolutely. I'm sorry.
Don't open a
church is great. Go to your church. Go to your mosque, but do not open a bed and breakfast where you're going to unfortunately turn away people who are born gay.
Don't open a bed and breakfast. And do you know what? Some of them will be honest about this, and he's being honest about this. This is the LGBT tyranny.
That's whoever that person happens to be, whatever their religious beliefs are, then you're doing exactly the same to them as you're alleging was done
to you. One is a decision and one is not.
Because you're religious, you can't open this.
No, because one is a decision and one is not. Or be religious and open it and be tolerant to different people. Actually, take the parts of the...
Or... or open it and be quote unquote tolerant, which is basically ignore, don't obey the Bible. Yeah, open it and disobey the Bible.
The Bible that preach tolerance and love, and don't cherry pick the parts of the Bible that preach hatred.
Which one is it? Again, nobody actually wants to argue and go through the context and what. There's no actual specific arguments here. That love is according. What is love? Jesus summarizes it like this. The law of God, he summarized like this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the first four commandments summarized together. You shall have no gods before me. I am God, and you shall have no gods before me. You shall not make idols, second commandment. Third commandment, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor. And so on. That is, again, further summarized in love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. With every part of you. On these. And the other second great commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Commandments 5, 3 to 10. Honor your father, your mother, thou shalt not kill, etc. That's about loving your neighbor as yourself. That's what love is. God is love. And what does that love look like? What does that character look like? The law of God written with the finger of God on tables of stone. If you hate the law of God, that's not love. God is love. What does love look like? Commandment keeping. To allow somebody and to take pleasure in somebody in rebellion against God, with the wrath of God upon them, it is hatred towards that person. Absolute hatred.
What impact will this have on the gay community or any minority community?
I think it's sad that we are seeing, since Brexit, a rise in some rather unsavoury opinions that are coming to the surface. Gay hate crimes are on the rise. Yesterday was, you know, World Mental Health Awareness Day. You've done amazing work on this programme on mental health, yet Mind say that the LGBT community are much more likely to suffer a mental health problem. The Supreme Court, you're quite right.
Yeah, why are they much more likely to suffer a mental health problem? Because what the lifestyle that they're promoting is in rebellion against God, it is so contrary to nature, and there is the accompanying depression that goes with such a horrible lifestyle. So, what if, here's a new idea, what if that depression, that mental health issues that is accompanying and is a characteristic of that community is caused by doing things that are contrary to nature, doing things that are so vile that their consciences are extra hardened against the word of God. There's misery and despair there. There is hopelessness. And the further you go from God, the more hopeless you become.
Have thrown the gay community under the bus. Once again, let's just reiterate, this is a message of equality that you are arguing
against.
Just repeat it over. No, this is equality, this is equality, this is equality. You're arguing it's equality. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. You just relabel things. We are love, we are equality, we are great, you are the bad guys. It's kind of... I don't know what's been called, political Manichaeism. You just label yourself the light and everything else is darkness. Well, you become the standard and the judge then.
Five judges of the Supreme Court are going to unanimously issue a ruling which, you know, diminishes the rights of gay people. It is just preposterous. It's a good news ruling. It's good for everybody. And it's something to be celebrated that it's a strong underlining of the great British tradition of free speech. Thank you.
Anyway, so hopefully that's been great news. Fantastic news, and we pray, I don't know if it can be appealed to or anything else like that. I pray that it cannot, and I hope the MacArthurs can move on with their lives and keep them in your prayers. And there's also other people around the world who are facing similar cases. What do I say? Support those businesses, by the way. I hope you didn't take away from this that you shouldn't. You should support these businesses. We have duties as citizens, uphold the law of the land, all this kind of stuff. However, if you want true peace, let's not get dovetailed into, there's a limited place for political activism and all this kind of stuff. And I've done research in the old LGBT movement and the sexual revolution, all this. But again, the same solution. Again and again. The same reason that this opposition is coming. That enmity, that hatred that comes from people who hate Christ. The reason they hate us. The reason they hate us. Because they hate Christ. Now, we should not respond in such a way that we try to get our own back. No. What do? We turn the other cheek. We love that person. We don't love that person in such a way that we delight in their sin and their hatred of God's law. But in a benevolent and beneficent way. Oh, that we may be shining lights that would point towards Christ in everything that we do. Let us not kind of, and this is, again, wonderful, encouraging news. However, pray for the province up here in Ulster, Northern Ireland. Pray for these islands as they go further and further away from the Word of God. Let us not be satisfied that, hey, we can have a business and they're going to leave us alone. We want the nation. We want that attitude of Knox. Give me Scotland. That we are burdened for souls. That we're burdened for that soul who says Christians don't open businesses. That he would be born again. Let's pray for that man. Let's witness to that man. Regardless of what they do, think of us, or do to us, let us dig into the Word of God, exposit it faithfully, and love God. That if they would do anything to us, we are pampered and spoiled compared to the rest of Christian history. If you go back in early church history, people would be tortured. Go through medieval history. They estimate some 50 million have been murdered for opposing the Antichrist papacy. In the West, we have an unusual situation this period of time that we have, relatively speaking, gone through less persecution than other Christians in other periods in history of time. And if we do follow after Christ, we will face persecution. It will come. There will be opposition. There will be people who won't like us. What do you do? You pray for that person. You love your enemy. You do not seek vengeance. I feel sorry for those people. They follow. They are slaves of their sin. They love their sin. Have you ever seen a slave in the misery? And sin is a horrible taskmaster that will not let them go. There's any things you'd like me to cover, MiguelFilms@gmail.com. I hope this has been a blessing to your soul. It's been Paul Flynn. Lord willing, talk to you again soon.